Hello and welcome to the Dad Podcast. I'm your host, Justin Worsham. With me today is none other than my good friend, Darren Carter, the party starter. How are you, good
sir? Thank you, man. Thank you for having me back on. I love it. It's how long have you been doing this podcast?
Ooh, very good question. Let's see, 2009? Yeah.
2009, that's great.
So now we're almost at 10 years, I guess.
That's awesome.
Oof, that's... That's both.
Wow. Eight years, 9 years, something. Yeah, you're there. You're doing it.
Math is not my thing. The but it is. It's funny. Like, what's great about Darren is Darren and I have a lot of. Darren was, if not the one of the first comics to kind of take me out as an opening act, and so we were getting caught up and chatting. And it's funny when you do something. And of course, now we start recording. Here's my son. Yes, son.
Hello. Come on in. He's got a question. He's got.
Did
something
you break
in his
it
hand.
Again? Oh, okay.
Oh, he didn't do it. His brother did.
Yeah, throw his brother under the bus. There we go. All right, there you go.
Boom, snapped it back in.
It's all right. It'll still work, son. It's okay. Just don't drop it again. So it's the Amazon Fire remote that they've broken.
That's cool.
You know what it is? I put a light out here, and I keep forgetting to turn it on, and I am curious. I like the idea that they come in. It doesn't bother me.
Yeah.
Because they're in there by themselves, right? So it'd be kind of a dick move to be like, leave daddy alone.
The on-air red light is on, Junior.
Yeah. But yeah, normally when somebody comes over, we come out, we do the show, but you and I have been chopping it up for about an hour before we started to do the show.
Yeah.
So we go...
I'm just curious because it's like, I mean, I'm seeing you, you know, like, we're seeing each other grow, but I'm like seeing you grow. Like, I remember when I think I met you recently or not recently. The first time was, I think you featured for me, I think at Rooster Teeth Feathers, right?
Yep.
And that was when she was pregnant. I think she was pregnant at that point. And to tell you how long ago that was, because, Austin is 9 years old. He'll be 10 in September. So, cause I remember we met in afterwards, we had dinner at Conrad's in LA and you go, and you made some cool joke like, I mean, I'm nervous. I mean, I'm not like Darren Carter about to have a baby nervous. I was like, so that tells me Austin wasn't even on this planet yet. And then, you didn't even have children either.
No. Well, it was probably a few months after Austin was born is that I found out I was having, because it was later that same year, I want to say. Am I right?
2007. He was born in 2007.
Yeah. So it would have been, later. So because I met you in May. Wow. And I think I might have been hosting actually.
It's like Rain Man. Like,
I think it might have been just May, hosting at Rooster. Definitely, May, definitely May. Definitely
May 2007. Yeah,
I remember it. No, I put it in my calendar. It was a Memorial Day weekend that I remember because my mom. I don't know if you still do, but you had a Darren Carter thong.
Oh, it's
underwear.
Right. I think I still have a few.
And my dad stepped out to have a cigarette, and my mom had a few, threw back a few, and said, honey, could you get your mother a pair of his underwear? Because I just think they're so funny. And your father left and he has the money.
That was cool. I used to have those black thong underwears that said party starters.
Yeah, and it was so great. My favorite part of it was that I was new to meeting Darren. We weren't friends yet. And so I said, hey, Darren, can I buy a pair of the thong underwear? And you kind of went, what? Why? And I said, well, my mom and my dad's outside with the money. And you kind of like looked at me and you could kind of like, poor guy. And you said, just take it.
Yeah, because I remember thinking like, it was weird because everyone looked kind of young to me, you know, and like it was, you know, it was interesting. Because, your parents, especially at that time, like, because I think I'm a little older than you, and then your dad is like kind of a younger dad.
Yeah, he had me when he was 21.
And then maybe his wife, I don't know, but like your mom is like, she's younger. So I was like, this is weird. We're all in our 30s. Or whatever.
And then yet her kid wants to get a pair of thong underwear for his mom, which is a whole other thing.
Yeah, I was like, hanky. No. I was like, save the money for therapy. No.
I had something interesting come up in my life yesterday that I would like to run by you because we were two guys who traveled out on the road before. And I don't know if your lovely wife ever has had any issues or concern. But so my wife has this friend of hers, and this is all like for a joke. But then at a certain point I went like, is it a joke? My wife has this friend that she texted. He used to be like her boyfriend way back in elementary school, long, long time ago. I knew the guy. We played, I think, Pop Warner football a little bit together because we all grew up in the same town. And now he lives down near here, and we've had lunch with him and everything. And she wanted to go see his band play, but we couldn't make it out or whatever. And she's like, "Oh, I feel so bad." And I was kind of like, "Well, you haven't talked to the guy too much, so don't feel too bad or whatever." And And she was like, and I made the joke of, I said, well, it's not like he just sent out a Facebook invite. It's not like he texted you. And she goes, well, he kind of did. And I went, oh, I think he's hitting on you.
Maybe it was like a mass text, though.
No, it said, Natalie, I would like, unless he's doing form letters with his text. But the way she said it was, he said, well, Natalie, I'm doing these shows in about a month if you want to come. And I, all kidding.
Yeah.
I said, well, like maybe he's hitting on you, you know, kind of thing. And she went over the top. Well, no, he's not that. He's got a lovely wife. He's got kids and everything. And it was this weird thing where I was like, methinks she doth protest too much, you know. And I just kind of gave her a look, all kidding, right?
Yeah.
And she's like, what? What? I go, nothing. And then we get home and I was watching TV. She was doing, you know, something in the kitchen, you know, lady work. And then all of a sudden she comes in. I go, I just want you to know that my heart belongs to you. I belong to you and I love you. And I was like, what are you talking about? Because I'd totally forgotten.
And
she goes, well, it seemed like it bothered you earlier about, you know, the thing. And I was like, oh, no. In my mind, I was like, oh, but then I went, no. And I said, well, you know, I'll give you once. You could cheat once. And then she's like, you're such a fucking dick. So you tell me, dear. First,
yeah, but I just so you know, honey, I am on Monday. I am starting guitar lessons.
Yeah. Right, because that's the thing.
He's also a musician, right? So it's like they get caught up in the music, and he's got the long hair and his shirt's off, and he's got the six pack. And
I've seen this guy. He's also athletic. You know, he looks way better with his shirt off. You know what I mean? He's much more interesting. You know, now, so you, Derek Carter, put yourself in my shoes.
Yeah,
would you be kind of being like, did it happen? Was it?
Did it? Is it?
Or do you think that would just go away and you wouldn't even think twice about it?
I want to say I think it would go away.
Yeah.
It's like also, you know, we're celebrating our anniversary is coming up in August. So we're at 20. It'll be 20 years.
So did we. Well, we have 20 years together, 20 16 years together. Married.
Yeah. So I, not that I know you're saying it'd be a little, but you know, and I want to say that I think I was a little bit more insecure, like, earlier on, you know, but then there comes a, but then again, the shoe's on the other foot, you know, where would I know if I started getting, hey, Darren, you know, because my wife, she, you know, she looks great. She's been exercising like crazy and doing the stadium bleachers and she's always tan, which I can't get. And, you know, and there are guys that hit on her and stuff. And, you know, I'm pissed. Let's just stop this podcast. You know what? What the hell are we doing?
It's funny because you pointed out that you're like, listen, I'm 20 years in, I'm totally secure. And I was like, That's wildly ironic to me because you would think 20 years ago, each of you in your prime, you know what I mean? And so you would think that would when you would feel the most secure, but because the relationship is new, but then it's like now it's 20 years later, but the guy never wins, which is the other part of this that I'm seeing. The guy never wins the trade-off. No matter what, like you're in great shape, right? Yeah. Looking good. You said yourself, you're a fair skinned guy. You can fight, right? You got the guns. You're doing the boxing workout, you know, but no matter what, no matter what, it is going to always be easier for somebody to hit on your wife than it is us.
Oh yeah, totally.
Because we are funny guys. So that means we naturally, innately will just outkick our coverage. We get the sitcom life situation where our wife is hotter than we should ever be able to attain. Mm-hmm. And yet we feel pretty secure. Like that's why I brought this up, is because part of me was like, oh, what the hell do I care? But then I'm like, wait a minute, am I missing
a signal? I gotta be honest, there are times where now that you say that,
I know. Remember the time I cast doubt in your relationship?
Yeah, he cast doubt. I know. It goes from like the dad podcast to the mad podcast. She's a real bitch.
No. You know, now I'm thinking about it.
Yeah. My arms are folded. Look at my body language. I'm starting to. I was all relaxed the hour before we were on the podcast. I'm like, yeah, what the fudge, man? You know, like.
Talking about the depressing life of stand-up comedy. Yeah. Now it's the depressing life of marriage.
No, but you're right, because they're going to even be like some old dork that's like, you know, like we'll go hiking, for example, and then like we'll see, like sometimes we'll see similar people or the same people, and my wife's like, oh, there's so and so, and I'm just like, you know, and then I'm like, because I'll be hanging back more with Austin, and then I'm like, eh, some old harmless dude, I don't give a shit if they're walking together. But then sometimes I'm like, I don't really like that guy. I don't even know the guy. I don't even know him. Right. I'm just like, even though he's like, you know, borderline retired. I almost said retarded. Retired. But there is that little, I think that, you know, you want to be okay with everything, but there's a little tiny part of you that gets a little bit like,
Well, weirdly enough, it is the security that sometimes, this is in my situation.
Yeah.
Like I was like, am I unfortunately so secure that I'm oblivious?
Yeah, because I'm like that too.
Right.
I'm always like that also. But I'll tell you a good thing. This is good. I was watching, I want to say it was Ray Romano, you know, the producer of that show, the guy that helped him create it. I don't know his name. He's
Phil
famous.
Rosenthal.
Yes. And he told his writers, go home, because you know, it's a situation. You heard that?
Yeah.
Go home and pick a fight with your wife, and then come back in and tell us all about it. So this right here, these are situations, like situation comedy. It's like that would be like a plot line for a sitcom. You know?
Right.
You just got to remember these.
He feels so secure, but then all of a sudden has the moment where he's like, wait, what? Wait, hold on.
What? You're getting text messages? They wanted you to be in a band. And
not
then,
Murray.
And then maybe you go there and like the band is like, maybe he's, you know, put on 100 pounds and the band's an awkward band that's like polka.
But the guitar takes off 20 pounds. The guitar. It's the guitar.
Yeah, exactly. And then you feel silly. There's got to be a twist in there somehow. But like, Then you join the band.
I try to play a ukulele.
Yeah. But
I can't play the ukulele. It just makes me look fatter. Oh.
Yeah, exactly. Somehow you get into the band, and then you start hanging out with them more than your wife. And then she's like, come on, stay home. I got band practice. And then, and then she's afraid that you're going to get groupies.
You know? Then he charms you. You become his
band.
But then there was also a part of me, because she was being very amorous after having this conversation, and that was a part of my relationship I've never experienced in 20 years. It was like, am I willing to exploit this slight moment of insecurity to get laid? Like, am I willing to? How far am I willing to take this? I've never had relations with my wife under mischievous means, I guess, is the way I would want to put it. Like, I've never had to manipulate her that I can remember, to be honest. I've never plied her with alcohol. Usually she's... Now, especially, she likes to drink, which maybe is another reason. Maybe it's because she's, you know, you think she's nervous about living this double life. And
is this thing even recording? Is this a real podcast?
I hope so.
You're like, no, Darren, I just need someone to talk to.
Yeah, Darren, I just need a friend that isn't 8 years old. Yeah, that's really...
Jack, go away and fix your fire stick.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. Daddy's talking to us a friend.
Yeah. That's... Man, I don't know, you know?
But why is it that you think... Because you're right. It is a thing where you have the same mindset of like, I know this is stupid, but there is a part of you like, hey, man, hands off. Like, get away from my lady.
Yeah.
But then there are moments where she's interacting with people that it's complete, like, you don't even care. And I want to know what the difference is. I don't know if it's the person is more charming.
Yeah, I don't know. It's
than
like,
say I am, or funnier, or better looking.
I never really, you know what? It's because I'll see her talk, like, hanging around talking to the other, like, you know, dads at the school, or the dads at the, you know, the... Taekwondo classes or whatever, and I'm just like, or whatever, you know, I'm just like, whatever, you know. But then I don't really feel that. Then again, you should see some of these nerds.
But that's what
they might be listening. Hey, you guys are all handsome.
A part of my wife thinks, and this also could be all just something she says to you know, inflate my ego, but she thinks it's constantly that moms are into me. My wife thinks that is, but does your wife think that? Does your wife think when you go out on the road, the chicks that are watching you on stage are like, man, I want to slice a little bit of Darren Carter off?
I don't know. I should ask her.
But is she the jealous type? Is
I don't
she
think
like,
so. I mean, I that's what I'm saying. I think a lot of that stuff was earlier on, I think, you know, and now it's like, you know.
And then, so let's take this other just for the food for thought. And tell me if I'm really making you feel uncomfortable because.
Honey, I'm going to go check out these old girls from high school. They're all in bands now. I've got our winter lined up.
We're going to do a tour of Fresno. It's going to be great.
Winter break. We're going to take Austin. We're going to go check out we're going to be groupies.
But it is a thing where the part of the security, because it is a thing that I think we're all aware of, is that you want to watch out for getting too secure because then you don't try.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? You're not invested in the relationship. You don't want to get too much into a rut, which I don't think I'm there at all. I think that's the thing. Right now, I think I have the strongest relationship I've ever had with my wife right now at this moment.
You know what? I love our marriages. It's like I look at these dumb like I don't know. We were talking about what's trending earlier, and I think I woke up and I was like, oh, because I usually like check Twitter. It was what's trending on Twitter, you know, and the name Rob Kardashian came up. Do you know who that is?
Yes.
Do you know what I'm about to say?
I think so. Yeah, let's see. Are you talking about is it the right Kardashian? I'm not very good at keeping caught up with them, but is it the one that did the revenge porn?
Yes.
Okay. Yeah. With Blac Chyna.
Yes. So I didn't even.
I feel dumber now that I know that.
No. I barely knew his name. I didn't know.
Don't lie, Darren. We're friends.
Yeah. I buy all his socks on his website.
Yeah. And I was like,
so you
don't
get socks.
Yeah, I know. Well, I found this out after.
And
I
was research.
Like, and I was like, what's all this about? And they're like, oh man, he really went in on her on his Instagram. So I was like, really? So then I go to the Instagram, and then it was like, he was like, you know, just like, you know, yo, the mother of my baby, you know, whatever. And he was like posting. I didn't see any of his porn, but I saw like he had posted a video of her making out with this dude that she'd sent to him. And I'm just like, this is just high school childish bullshit. But at that level of like, he's like, I bought her a Bentley and a Mercedes, and this is the thanks I get, and all this jewelry, oh, you know, and. Whatever. It's just like, I was just like, God, I'm so glad I'm not in this kind of relationship. This whole like, and then Snoop Dogg, that was kind of actually funny because Snoop Dogg came on because I follow him. Uh-huh. And he's like, hey, Rob, you gotta, she saw, what do you say? He goes, Rob, she saw, when she saw you, she saw a sucker and you got licked. You gotta move on, you know? And yeah, it was like, so it's kind of like pop culture, like instantly, which I could care less about the Kardashian and all that stuff. But it was interesting, and it's kind of cool, like you and I were like, you know, kind of like middle-aged dads, and we know about like Blac Chyna and Kim Kardashian and Rob. And here's what's happening: I'm big into boxing now, and it's like I was watching the Floyd Mayweather Jr., you know, Conor McGregor, the Maymac World Tour, where they went from Los Angeles, Toronto, New York, and London. And at one of the press conferences, you know, it was hilarious, man. Like Conor McGregor came out. Can I curse on this?
Yeah.
Oh, by the way, when Conor says the F word, he says Fook, F-O-O-K. He's like
Scottish, right? Is that the
he's Irish? Irish, he's from Ireland, yeah. And he's like, what the fuck is that? He's like talking about Mayweather. He's like, he says he's got 50 stripper bitches, 50 stripper bitches. He's like, what the fuck are you thinking? He's like, Rob Kardashian only had one. And he's like, that's why you're taking the fight, because you owe the IRS. It's true. He owes the money to the IRS. And he goes, you should have stayed in retirement. You should have, he goes, you should have paid your taxes, and you should have kept my fucking name out of your mouth.
I don't know how good the trash talking is when you got to mention the IRS. Like that is a level of trash talking problem I would like to have. You know what I mean? Where your insult is your problems with the IRS. I feel like that's a good first world problem.
Yeah, and then Floyd came back with, you want to mention the IRS? I am the IRS, bitch. And he goes, and you about to give me a check. I'm about to tax your ass. That's what he said. You know?
Tax your ass.
And then the next, then when they went to like London or one of those places, Conor said something like, or no, McGregor or Mayweather said, he called out all his big goons. He's like, Voltron! And they all just came over, right, and surrounded. It was like almost like a melee on stage. And they surrounded Conor, and then they had to break them all up. And then as this was happening, Floyd skipping away, going, yeah, yeah. Like they're trying to, like, intimidate him.
It's like a circus show.
Yeah, it's awesome. I love it. I love it, man. And then it's like UFC or something, or WWE.
Yeah.
So the next day, Conor was like, what the fuck was that? He's like, he goes, what were you saying, like Voltron Power Rangers? What are you, a 14-year-old?
This Conor McGregor guy is coming over.
It's
I love him.
Great. He's like, oh my God. He's like, you got hands like peanut brittle. You got skinny legs and a tiny head.
Well, that's probably why they put them together is because they're two showmen, right?
And the biggest guy in UFC and the undefeated boxer.
Yeah.
49-0. I mean, it's like, if you were to have a fantasy of what would happen in sports, That would be the one. Yeah. And it's going to happen. It's actually going to happen.
When is this going down?
August 25th.
Okay. Is that your anniversary?
No, our anniversary is August 26th.
So we know where you'll be.
No, wait. I messed up. Oh, my God. My wife's going to hear this, too. I love you, Jeannie.
Edit.
That's when it's going to happen.
When's this going to happen?
Oh, well, our anniversary is August 25th. And the fight's going to happen August 26th. You could leave that in. And it's like, I was going to anyways. But and I remember I told my wife, it's great. I go, the big fight's the day after our anniversary. And she goes, what are you more excited about? I was like, don't ask me that. No, I'm kidding, honey. I'm kidding. You know?
That's funny.
Yeah, 20-year anniversary, man. I'm
really, let's take a quick break, and then I want to ask you about Snoop Dogg when we come back. All right, we're back with Derek Carter. And earlier, you did your amazing impression for Snoop Dogg that you're known for, and I thought it was interesting where Snoop Dogg was weighing in social media to give advice to Rob Kardashian, and I pose this question to you, is that do you think you are in a good place in your life when Snoop Dogg becomes sage wisdom? You know, when he's offering life counseling, because at first I was like, you know, Snoop's got a solid point, and I don't
just
know.
You gotta move on. You gotta move on.
She's right.
Like, you a lollipop. You a sucker, and you got licked. She seen a sucker, and you.
He said you got licked. You got to move on. Yeah.
Because I feel like if I hit a level of that fame where Snoop Dogg is aware of what's going on to me, that life is good.
Oh yeah, Justin, I'm telling you. Let your wife go see the band.
You gotta let go of that old.
Yeah, if you love something, you let it go. You let it be free. How's the thing? I don't even know how to.
If you love something, let it go.
Set
because
it free.
Yeah, because if it loves you back, it'll come back. I think.
Yeah.
I don't know.
Y'all just.
I've never let it go.
Y'all just sound all white and corny.
If I love something, I let it go.
But
and I,
at a certain point, your life, Rob Kardashian is very famous. But like you said, he's involved in this very childlike fight with his baby's mama. And to a point where now Snoop Dogg is your life coach.
Yeah.
The man who used to take advice from Don the Magic Wand, I believe.
I don't like the whole lifestyle stuff. The whole, I'm going to be flashy and this and that and be whatever's happening now. Because, you know, whatever's hot today is gone tomorrow, right? I read this in a comedy book. They said, today is hot, it's tomorrow's hack.
That's true.
And it's true, right?
Yeah. Alternative music when it becomes pop.
Yes. So it's like just you and I mentioning Black China and this and that. It's like. I guarantee
we've become the catalyst to make it.
We're the catalyst to make it hack.
When you're wearing cargo shorts and talking about Black China becomes irrelevant.
Yeah, 6 months from now, it's going to be irrelevant. Irrelevant? Yeah.
Yeah, that works.
I almost said like the Revenant or the bear and
Leonardo DiCaprio. We ruin his life.
Yeah. Everyone's like butt calling in. Stop mentioning me. You're making me hack, you middle-aged.
But I do. I agree with you. I like the. I am a big fan of the boring. Lifestyle.
Yes.
It was one of the things.
Yes, I love it. I'm a big fan of that. Like, oh, can I tell you what I'm into right now? It's really, I'm telling you, I love boring, kind of like boring stuff. It's like, I love chess.
Yes,
I love chess. I love chess so much. And my favorite thing on chess is it's called Blitz. It's the 1 minute games on, and it's wonderful if you have a.
So this is like Words with Friends that you play, but it's chess, right?
You can do that, with different friends. You think you have 10 games going with this person, 4 with this other person. But then the 1 minute blitz games, okay, so you fire up your iPad or your tablet or whatever, and you go to chess.com. That's what I do. And you go to the 1 minute games, okay? So, and now you're like ready to play, and you're playing anybody around the world as soon as they log in. They'll come on, and then the countdown begins. You make your move. They make their move. And the clock's going. It's like a fuse going. And who can move their pieces faster and try to get the person in checkmate, or who's gonna like run out of time? And I've gotten really good at that, you know. Like, and then your ranking goes higher, so you get your ranking. And
so it's not a 1 minute game. What it is that each of you start with a minute to make your turns or your moves.
Yeah. So it's really what would that be like?
It could be anything.
Like
but
a 2 minute game, maybe.
Yeah, I guess.
Well, no, because you each have 60 seconds. Right, yeah. So the clock, as you're thinking, the clock's going, going down, down, down. So I've got.
And if you run out of time before he is, even though he has a chance,
so
I've got you in checkmate.
I've gotten so fast at that, like a lot of times, you know, I'll be beating people on time, and I still have like 31 seconds on the board, or like, you know what made me better at that? We had like a spotty Wi-Fi connection. It was so frustrating. I'm like, dar, dar, dar. And then the thing would be like, game ended, and I was just like, whatever. So then when there is a good Wi-Fi, I'm like, grr, grr. I mean, that's what I love to do. Like when I'm on the road, when I do comedy, I finish my show, I say hi, I kiss the babies, and shake hands, grip it and grin, and all right, good night, everybody. People are like, aren't you going to hang out with us? I'm like, listen, man, I'm Darren Carter, the party starter. I start the parties. I don't necessarily attend them. And I love to go back, and I can't wait to get back to my hotel room, put on like Spotify, and like play chess. And like I said,
what playlist do you play chess to? Add to the boring.
Oh, man, it's all over the map. I mean, I know. For a while, it was like I got into like Metallica.
Oh, really?
Like heavy duty Metallica. Like I bought like 5 of their albums.
But you're also a country fan too.
You know what?
Not so much anymore.
That comes and goes. Yeah, it's like. But you're right though. When we used to hang out a lot, it was definitely country. But like you know, when I listen to country, it's like I'll get on my country kicks, like Merle Haggard. You know, like he's beautiful voice, great songs. But by the way, I wrote a joke about this because, you know, with comedy, you write what you're thinking about, right? And so I came out of the bedroom and I told Jeannie, I go, hey, I just bought 5 Metallica albums. And she goes, I'd rather you tell me you're having an affair. Because she knows, hey, guess what I'm going to be playing for the next 6 months, you know? You know? One, you know?
Well, it's great, too, the contrast of this like hard, heavy metal. Give me fuel, give me fire, give me that which I desire.
Give me fuel, give me fire.
Yeah, exactly. Rook to E5.
Yeah. Come on, motherfucker. Are you ready? Yeah. Who's your pawn bitch now?
Yeah.
I'll tell you who's a queen. No. So, yeah, it's like... She goes, are you having a full metal life? No, what is it? A metal life crisis.
Oh, that's good. Yeah, I like that.
And then I'd rather have you. Yeah, and by the way, I go, hey, that joke you said, it killed. And she goes, just so you know, I would rather you not have an affair, which is something I said.
Just,
you know,
just like, be clear. Yeah. This is not legally binding. Yeah, this is not like a hall
joke
pass.
Joke in the living room. But yeah, so no, you know what I've been into now, which is like, man, I love this guy, Chuck Berry.
Oh, yeah.
I've been listening to Chuck Berry.
Away, yeah.
Yes, he did.
Yeah.
I'm just kidding. I knew that right now.
But, I'm so sorry.
Oh, man.
This ruined everything for you today.
He lived to be 90 years old, but it's like, you know, and I knew Chuck Berry. We all know Chuck Berry and his music and stuff. But he released his last studio album. You know, it was while he was still alive, obviously, that he recorded from the 90s up until 2014. The plan was to, like, you know, release it in June. And I think they even released one track while he was still alive. The album's awesome. It's called Chuck. And it's great, man. It is like...
But is it like a compilation of hits?
No,
or
it's all new material.
Stuff?
It's all new material.
Is it the same sound or is
yes,
it...
Yes, that's what's making it great. It's the same sound like you want. It's not
so
like...
So it's a modern take with the old sounding of rock and roll. The
yes,
way it started.
Yes, and a little bit of blues. And then there's one live track that he does. It's called 3/4 Time Enchiladas, which I found was a cover of... I think somebody else had recorded it. This guy named Joe White, I think.
I wouldn't know.
I think his name is Joe White, which also Elvis covered that same.
But it is. I like this. I like what you're saying about it's funny that we as dads.
Yeah.
Right. Your dads have a perception of being boring.
Yeah.
Which we are there. I don't know many dads that don't kind of embrace that. Like
you can finally embrace it
for Father's Day. I got a shirt that says dad to the bone. And it's one of my most favorite things because it's the dumbest joke.
Yeah.
But I love it. And my favorite thing about it is wearing it in a grocery store and having somebody walk by, especially if they don't have kids. Like you can just tell they're younger. Usually it's a young lady in her 20s because daddy still got it, I guess. But you'll be like, I love your shirt. And they'll get a little tickle out of it.
Yeah.
And I'm like, I'm an idiot. I'm an idiot wearing cargo shorts, wearing a dad to the bone shirt. My other boring thing is, I talked about it a little bit on a video on Facebook, but I don't think I told the whole story on this show, is that I built a Lego table for my kids because they were playing Legos on the dining room table constantly. And so I was like, you know what, I'm gonna build this Lego table. And my wife was doing the stereotype.
How is a Lego table different than a regular table?
It's a good question. What I did was they sell these sheets of like the Lego that you could, so you could put a sheet down and then they could build on top of these sheets. So, and within the table. So they sell tables that not only have drawers that you could store the Legos in and stuff, but they're kind of smaller in scale. I built one that was 30 by 30 inches. I bought 9 of these 10-inch sheets. The mistake I made was building it before the sheets had arrived. Mm. And so when they got here, they're like 10 inches and a 16th. So that by the time you get 3 of them, you're almost at an 1/8 of an inch. And it sucked ass, so I had to build a second table. To make matters worse, this is only... Again, super nerdy if you're into woodworking, but not really high level, not like Nick Offerman level where I'm building a canoe out of a piece of birch that I chopped down in the woods somewhere.
Yeah.
But I put a dado blade on it. And for anybody who doesn't know, a dado blade is it's like a thick table saw blade that cuts a notch. Mm. And so I cut about a 4-inch notch. And because I put a thicker dado on this thing, I was like, I'm really going to tighten it up because I don't want it to come loose. I've never used this many blades on the dado attachment. And I over tightened it.
Mm.
And I couldn't get it off. And so then I was tired because this is like my second go round of building the table. It was hot outside. So I clamped down a piece of wood, jerry-rigged the wrench to prop up against this wood. And then I'm like, I'm going to turn the saw on and just let it hit just to loosen it.
Yeah.
But what I did was I over-tightened it.
Uh-oh.
Now, to bring you full scale is that when my wife said, just look at a table, I looked at tables online. They were $250, much smaller than the table I built. It was about $70 worth of lumber. $60 for the Lego sheets. Okay, so $130 for my custom table that's bigger. But then I screwed up because the sheets were bigger. I had a little inlay because I wanted to put a lip around it so Legos wouldn't just fall off. So now I had to build the table again. So now I'm another $70 in. So now I'm $210.
Your second table.
My second table. This one works. I get it all glued in, all put together. but now I can't get this dado blade. So just yesterday, I'm trying to take the dado blade off of the motor. I take the motor out of the table saw. Mm. It's still attached with the power cable. I still can't spin it. So I'm like, fuck it. I cut the power cable with a pair of dykes. Thankfully, it's got a hot and a neutral, so I know I can rewire it. I get it in the vice grip. I had to pull the whole electric motor apart, and with one easy turn, I was able to take this nut off and get my dado blade back off. But then I couldn't get the electric motor back together. So to build this Lego table for my kids, I fucked up a $300 table saw.
Oh, my gosh.
And now I have to buy another one. And so to make matters worse, when I'm telling my wife this, I'm like, yeah, I tried. I can't get it back together. It looks like I screwed up a table saw. I'm going to have to get another one. She goes, well, I wouldn't get one until you need it. And I was so pissed because I was like, I'm a guy in 2017 who built a table for his kids to play Legos on. And, you know, she's not being really nasty about it, but also, like, just a little dig.
Like, it kind of made sense what she said. And you're like, at the same time, like, it was more attention to that than, like, hey, look at this cool table
I
built.
Right. And you're, to further your point, which is much better. What's up?
I'm sorry. My ADD's kicking in. That thing keeps moving. I'm like,
I had pictures that were showing up on a screensaver. Sorry.
I'm like, stop it.
So, to make matters worse, is you're right, is that she was right. She was right. Not only should I not get a table saw right away because I don't do a ton of building, but then to make matters worse, insulting my manliness by saying that now I've spent almost $500 or more on a table that, and then, you know, I was going to paint it up.
Oh, you should take a picture of it and post it on your...
I have, somewhere. Yeah. There's a video. Yeah. You could go, if you go to facebook.com/dadpodcast, you could see me finishing the table and the kids were playing video games and I was like, hey, I built this Lego table for you. And they were like, cool.
Yeah.
Not interested. And I was talking to my dad about how I'm going to attach the legs and make it, but they, you know, and then Natalie's like, well, what are you going to do with the legs? It's up and it's ready, but I want to, I'm like, I have to see how much they play with it. They've actually spent 30 minutes on it, I think, total so far. So it's a double burn. And if I was cool like my dad who could build anything, it would have taken me maybe a couple hours and I never would have fucked anything up, including the table saw. But I have to pay a $350, maybe more, stupid tax on screwing up a dado blade on my saw. It's sitting out in front of my house to get picked up by Bulky had a pickup. And I also, the gardeners came today, and it was funny because he looked in. He's like, oh, look, somebody just left a table saw. But he looks in there, there's no motor because I pulled it all apart and threw it away. But to go back to the boring theme, I still liked it. I like the boringness of out there getting the miter cuts, making a match up, screwing it together with the wood glue. I like that. I like a boring life.
It's fun. It's like, I don't need to be like in the fast lane, like you know, like Rob Kardashian. Like, I was like literally like just like, ugh, like it made my skin crawl just reading like what he was saying. I was like, I don't want, and because I'd hit refresh, then like a new Instagram picture would pop up, and he's like, whatever. He's like, he was just like bad mouth her, and I'm like, the whole, and he's like, and I bought you this and that, and I got you, and he's just naming all the popular stuff that's like, you know, the cars, the shoes, the drinks, the this, and I'm just like, I don't want that, you know? I like Chuck Berry, chess, I like going to the boxing gym. Like the thing that I like when I go to the boxing gym, like my new thing now is that I've been getting better and better at jumping rope, and I'm like, let me just practice this. It's called double unders, where you jump it.
It swings twice in one jump.
Yes. When you're a kid, you go jump, skip, jump, skip. And then you get better where you're just like jump, jump, jump. And now I can go, like you said, like this is one, this is two, this is three. And like today I got 45 in a row. Bah, 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 one, two. I mean, it's really hard. In fact, I'm whippy. Like I have like marks on my leg and stuff. Look at the back of my neck. The rope hit me really hard on the neck. Can you see?
Oh, yeah, you could see it. It looks like, just a lash that's at probably a 45 degree angle, weirdly.
I know. I was like, ugh.
You know what's funny is that more impressive than the double jump, but probably not as difficult if people are watching you, is to do the side-to-side swing that you're not even jumping over.
Yes.
Like if you could jump and then go left and right and then go back into jumping rope, that is a jump roping god.
Like I can do that. Like we go side.
But that's far easier than a double under.
Yeah. It's not that hard. I swear, because I did the Mike Tyson, or even the boxers were kind of impressed. Some of them. They were like,
Mike Tyson? I don't know.
It's like when you squat. It's like a squat jumper. You squat down and you go side to side. You go side, side. And then I jump up and do a double. Zing! Then you squat down. One, two, jump up. Zing! Jump. Like, I'm doing all this crap. And I'll post. I'll do like a montage and I'll post it on, you know, social media. And then And then people are more impressed with like the pull-ups.
Yeah.
And I'm like, no, that's pull-ups are easy. Like anyone can do like, you know, not anyone, but you know what I mean? Like they're not that hard. Like
I can't do a pull-up. Why are you being
you can do a pull-up.
Yeah, I could.
You know what I mean? Like I'm sitting here jumping rope, sweating, like out of breath, whipping myself in the back of the neck. And like, you know, like all this stuff is really difficult and no one cares. But like, damn, you did two pull-ups. That's crazy.
What is your kid at all interested in any of the same stuff that you're interested in or no?
Some of it he is and some of it he's not.
Like what's he into? Mm.
Huge into video games.
Yeah.
Huge into video games.
Now, are you, because I remember when we'd hang out, I would bring a gaming system with me sometimes.
Yeah.
And you would try to like play something, but like you said earlier, the ADD,
yeah.
It's hard for you to just sit down and do that one thing unless you're way
right.
into it.
That's right. I realized like, yeah, you'd be like, well, how come you're into chess? Well, I like chess, but I like speed chess.
Yeah.
It's like, let's go. I got 1 minute, man. Let's go. We're not doing yeah, because my nephews who go into tournaments, they by the way, they go into they're chess, like they're really good. I like it, and I'm good compared to your normal person, but these kids are great. They have a chess coach. I mean, they go to Nashville for these tournaments, Vegas.
Oh, pussy these kids are pulling on.
I know, exactly. Oh, man, when they get in those teen years, oh, man.
Oh, man. Watch out, ladies.
Yeah, 30 years from now, they'll be sending text messages. Hey, I know you're married, and so am I, but who wants to watch me do a four-hour chess match? Yeah, they do, like, these three-hour chess games. I'm like, really, 3 hours? Like, yeah, where they make the move, they think about it, they make the notation, and they make them. It's just like, wow.
Yeah, like that idea is torture to you.
Yeah, that's a little much.
So, but your kid in video, can you play with him or is it a thing?
That's
where
the
you,
thing. So he's not like a regular, I would imagine like a regular kid because I've had, you know, I've been around my cousins and when they were younger and they're playing games, right? Or just most people. He's like, it's hilarious because even, see, he's, okay, he likes a lot of things. Like he likes writing, drawing, coming up with his own stories, like, you know, he's been wanting to play music and dance since he was a kid. Like he's come up with stuff, and so he can play piano now. He loves playing piano like throughout the day, and then he takes lessons, and it's pretty damn awesome. But anyway, so like with video games, he's like, Dad, you want to play? All right, and then he'll spend like 15 minutes like dressing my character, giving him a name, like.
Do you remember the name of the game? I'm just curious.
Oh, all these different games. Like, they're all weird to me. So it's like, you'd know them.
But it's like Final Fantasy? Is it a role-playing game?
No, even the
Mass Effect?
No, the systems are like Wii and Wii U.
Oh, okay.
And like,
I don't know those.
It's all
Kingdom
that.
Hearts, maybe?
No, it's just like, you know, like he's got like some of the characters.
So it's not like Call of Duty or any of that stuff.
No. Yeah, it's none of that. It's all like the Wii. It's all Wii stuff. Wii game. And then he's got the gamepad thing. And then he's got the Wii pad.
So you're doing like Wii Sports and everything with him.
Yeah, I do that with him. He's a lot of Mario stuff, Mario and Nintendo stuff.
So how does it go if he's like, what color shirt do you want to have? And you're like, I don't care. He's like, well, you got to pick a color.
What's your favorite color? You're red. I don't care. Let's just play. You know, and then, or this, he'll already be in the middle of the game. Like, and it, oh man, it's not like just me and him fighting each other. It'll be like, we'll be on the same team. But then like, it's like this weird, like, Nintendo world of, like, Mario and, like, that and his brother Luigi or whatever. And then, like, but, like, he and I are, like, fighting, like, 16 people all at once. And it says CPU, like, computer. So I'm like, dude, there's too much happening. I don't even remember when you took me to see Transformers 3? That's what these video games are like. And I'm like, Austin, I don't even know where I'm at or what I'm doing. And he's like, just go, go. And I'm like, I don't know how to go. Like, show me how to use the controller. It's like, he's like, do that. It's like A, B. And I'm just like, it's a little.
Yeah, one of my favorite things you said about transfers, like, I at a certain point, I couldn't tell who was the bad guys and who were the good guys.
Exactly.
It was just metal just jumbling together.
Explosions. And like, I'm like, ugh. Oh, yeah, somebody took me to see Superman. And it was a little bit like that. And then I go, I like the slower parts. Into like the story, not. I go, and my friend goes, "Oh, you mean the part that were like a country music video?" I go, "Yeah, where he was on the, you know, he's on a farm."
Kevin Costner was my favorite part of that.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. Although I got to say, we saw the new Spider-Man movie, and I really liked that.
It's a great movie.
Yeah, because I'm not into, like I said, explosions and super. We saw that one that everyone loves, the big movie, the big superhero movie that came out like 10 months ago.
Wonder Woman? Maybe?
No, the Legion of or the big. It's all the superheroes are in it, I think. Like Spider-Man, even he was in it for like a second as a teaser.
Oh, that's Avengers, yes.
Yes. And I didn't even know some of these characters. I was
Civil War. I think it was technically a Captain America movie. I want to say Captain America Civil War.
Yeah, it was something like that. Like everyone loved it, and I was still like, I was like lost. Like, who is that black guy? Like, I don't know who this guy is. And that's Panther. And that's. I was still like, you know, I'm like, give me the old school ones. You know, like, yeah,
we're really becoming old. Like,
yeah, I know.
Who is that black fella in there?
Yeah, what's his deal?
Yeah, no, I'm being all racist. And I know he's a bad guy. No, I'm just kidding. I'm kidding. I'm not like that. No.
Let's take another break, and then I want to talk more about it, because this is great to meet. Oh, yeah, stuff your kids into.
You saw a suck and got licked.
So, yeah, we saw Spider-Man, and I thought it was great. You know, it was I could follow along, and it's so funny. Like, did you see the movie Spider-Man?
Yeah, yeah.
So remember when they were at the... Oh, what's that tower in Washington, D.C.?
Washington Monument.
Yes, the Washington Monument. So I'm really watching it, really getting into it. And he's like, whoa, the suit, I haven't taken it this high, and there's no backup. And it was so dangerous. And the way they shot it, I was like, I put myself there. And I leaned over to Austin as he's eating his popcorn. I go, that was scary. And he goes, what was? I'm like... The fear of heights, like you don't have, okay, whatever. Yeah, you know, I was like, and then the whole elevator scene, like that was scary to me because I'm like, the, you know, like I imagine, you know, being up mm-hmm. high like that, like I wasn't.
But it doesn't even faze him.
Yeah, yeah. Then again, he likes roller coasters and stuff, so.
Yeah, well, that was the other thing. So what other things, so is he into the boxing thing at all or no?
Yeah, a little bit.
Because like, he likes martial arts,
yeah, yeah,
too.
Yeah, he likes a little bit, like he does. He likes to box with me. It's kind of funny. I got new boxing gloves, and so I let him try my old ones, and it's funny. The minute he put both of them up, he just starts swinging on me and start punching. I'm like, hey, relax, dude. Like, I got to be ready for this. Like, he's just like, go time, you know?
Let's do this.
Yeah, like, he's like, come on, let's have a boxing match. Like, he's always, like, playing around in the house, like, you know, and I'm always telling him, like, you got to keep your hands up. It's funny because I'm giving him secondhand knowledge that I'm learning, and I barely know it, so I'm like,
But you get to act like the dad who's teaching. Because that's what I'm thinking. Yeah. I'm like, man, I don't know how to teach my kid how to throw a punch.
Well, and part of me is like, I don't want to teach him. Well, because he's also in Taekwondo, and so like, I know he knows certain things there, but I'm like, I don't want to mix it up and mess it up.
Mess up Taekwondo,
because in boxing, they always tell you, like, keep your hands up, protect your... Like, the things that I know are, like, simple, you know, like, and I'm sure, like, people at that next level are like, you know, you don't always have to keep your hands up because you're not in range. You can keep them down to rest, but... If you ever want to get in superb shape and like really like boxing gym is for me the way to go. It's like it's awesome. You're gonna sweat like a maniac. Your shoulders are because you already have that cool like frame with your arms like and it's your shoulders have always been like that square like
yeah I'm a badass.
You're a badass man. You know, let's go to that band. Let's go check
that. See how badass you feel then.
Yeah. Let's know that band. You
let's
know.
Go see that guy.
Let's see that guy. Band practice.
Maybe he's forgotten how square my shoulders are. Maybe he didn't get the memo.
Yeah, he didn't get the memo.
Yeah, see, do they still have memos?
I don't know. I'll send him a facsimile. See, I've got a swimmer's body, buddy.
Unfortunately. This is a boxing match.
You big McGilla? Put him up. And I start doing the 30s boxing.
Yeah. Put him up, see? Yeah, my beeper's going to go off. Yeah. No, the... But it's great, though. Like it's like some of the things they teach in the boxing. You know, that I work with this coach, Coach Ward. He's awesome, retired, older guy. He was a professional boxer in the 70s, and he would, you know, they would pay him to go fight, like, when... you know, like George Foreman was going to fight Muhammad Ali. Like, you know, it's great, man. He knew all those guys. And
he would be like the opening fight or what?
He would be like, I don't know if he was the opening fight on those big matches, but they would pay him to go to like the Philippines and places like that to kind of, you know, to be a sparring partner. You know,
that's
like,
cool.
Yeah, yeah. And
it's kind of a weird gig though, right? To be like, I understand I'm getting paid to get punched in the face. Like that's the idea.
You're helping somebody sharpen their weapons to go for their big fight.
Right.
So they need that pressure. You know, they need like, you're right. It is a weird gig. It's like,
but you can't just come in and start whooping up on them. Even if you could.
Actually can.
Oh, really?
I think as far as I know, because there needs to be that sense of danger.
Right.
Cause if there's no sense of danger, then like, let's say you hired me to be your sparring partner. Cause you have this big, you know, fight coming up, you know, July 29th.
Yeah.
And I'm like, you know, cause they've done this before, like supposedly like Ronda Rousey was like, can't hit her in the face, you know? And so then you're not really practicing all the way. And I mean, at my level, like what I'm doing, I'm like, I don't need to do that. Cause I'm not trying to be a prize fighter, but I'm like, but it is kind of like I've gotten to be in the ring, you know, before. And, with people. If you ever do it, you want to go in there with someone that's really good, that knows what they're doing, because that way they're not going to hurt you.
Yeah.
You don't want to go in there with someone who's also trying to figure it out, because then they're like, you know, they're like, I'm going to, you know, yeah.
And they break your nose.
Yeah, exactly.
That's the moneymaker.
Exactly. Yeah, and they go back to my office job feeling like a real weekend warrior. Like, you don't want that.
I kick the party starter's ass.
Exactly. Yeah, you don't want that. You want someone who really knows what they're doing. But some of the things that we learn, and it's great that I've been told, you know, over the last few years, is like, always protect your face, right? Like, you know how your face is important? So with your fists, you never want to leave both. You never want both hands to be away.
Right.
So the way this guy, and I do this in my act now, I get advice from like this retired cholo. He's like, you never want to send someone to the store without protecting your home from robbers. So you always want to keep your hands up, you know, like you're answering a phone.
Now, is that a joke that you came up, or is that an actual quote from the guy that you just gave a cholo voice
that
to?
That was an actual quote from a retired cop, actually.
But, oh, that's awesome.
But isn't it funny that he would say that? Yeah, you never send someone to the store without, you know, but every day I'll make it that retired cholo guy. Because that retired cholo guy says some funny ass stuff. Like,
that's great.
He goes, I ask him, I go, what do you think about this Conor McGregor Mayweather fight? And he goes, it's going to be ugly. I go, like, what does that mean? Oh, it's going to be ugly. I go, but like how is it going to be different? Like, what do you mean ugly? Like, and he thinks about it and he goes, not pretty. He really said that. Like, what does that mean? Like, what does that mean? Like, they say things that are like common sense, but you don't really know, you know. Anyways. But,
so do you don't ever worry, right? Because here's the thing. I'm not saying this as an actual implication, because I know your kid and fairly well. Like, I know you guys.
Yeah.
What do you think of this idea where he knows martial arts, you're teaching him boxing, that's going to make him violent?
I don't think so.
Like, impossible, right?
I don't know if it's impossible, but no, I don't think so. I don't think so. It's like,
because you don't know any, but nobody ever sees the guy who, it's that guy. The guy who's got the black belt in karate is never the guy who's like, come on, come at me, bro. Come at me, bro.
Right.
He's never that. They're always super chill and be like,
yes,
oh, cool.
In fact, Austin is like, he, you know, when we.
It creates a sense of confidence.
When we leave Taekwondo, before we go anywhere else, he's always like, yeah, let me change clothes. Like, he likes to change clothes. He doesn't want to be out in public, like, with his
gi on.
Yeah, and stuff like that. And it's like, and he kind of doesn't really, you know what I mean? He kind of wants to keep it like, okay, I like doing it, but I don't want everyone to know. And for whatever reason, I don't know why, but it's like, and that's another thing, man. I'm learning, like these guys that can, like, train killers, like, they get it all out in the gym. They already know what they can do. They're not trying to prove themselves. It's the guy that's never fought since second grade.
They got,
like,
no insecurity.
Yeah, exactly. And they know you can win and lose, just like in chess.
Oh, shit.
Just like in chess. I win, I lose. I win. Right when I think I'm getting good, I play my 9-year-old Armenian nephew in Glendale, and he kicks my ass. he can dismantle me. Like, I'll be making a move, and he's like, why are you doing the fianchetto? You should be doing the Queen's Gambit. I'm like, I need lessons. No,
I feel the same way, but with Call of Duty. That's my chess, where you just get pwned by somebody who you just assume is some 14-year-old who's just stoned out of their mind, too, by the way. Like, their reflexes are next to nothing. And I've got to see, because I'll play that with my kids. And, like, both of them are getting good to the point where now, if they're both on a team against me, I got to pay attention and really focus. And I need that advantage of being able to get two of them in one stop, as and they only get me. Otherwise, they just smoke me. And it's wild to see yourself kind of get older like that, to kind of be like, this was my thing that I came into this knowing how to do. And now you guys have, the student has surpassed the teacher.
There's a chess tip I can teach you guys if you're listening, that I'm getting this also secondhand, not from a retired cholo, though.
He'd be a great chess instructor.
Yeah. So here's what my nephew's chess coach says with the pawns. You want to control the center of the board. And she's like, why are you keeping your pieces in the corner? They haven't been naughty. So you want to, like, get them all out there if you can.
Dust it up in the middle.
Yeah. You want to, you know, you bring your rook and your knight, get them out there. Don't leave them in the back like that, like in the corners. But yeah, so back to boxing, it's like, you know, jumping rope and protecting yourself. And, you know, Austin, when he does Taekwondo, it's funny, I asked him this. I go, is it, because they spar sometimes, you know, but it's not like boxing, though. They got all the pads and everything. Yeah. Plus, they're children. So that's when you get good, when you're a kid, because it doesn't really hurt, you know? So then, you know, it's not like a full grown, strong person hitting you. So I go, Austin, is it weird when you're sparring like someone you know and you like? And he goes, he's such a kid. He goes, yeah, especially when they're your BFF.
Adorable.
I know. Yeah. Can you imagine asking that? Hey, Mike Tyson, what's it like to spar someone you know? Is it weird?
Especially when they're your BFF. It's hot. Yeah, it's basically it's your BFF. Yeah. I only bite the earlobe.
The revenge porn thing is sticking in my head still because I'm trying to think of if I was to have a fight with my wife via social media. Like,
see, that's dumb right there. I wouldn't right. do that. You would never do that.
I know, like, but why? For the it's sake like, of... for the sake of
we're grown-ups. It's like that's silly.
Hypothetical, yeah. though.
Yes, okay.
What in America... because the boring lifestyle. Like, yeah. what could your wife post about you... like, what could she take a picture of? My wife, I think, would take a picture of me leaving cabinets open when I put away the dishes. I don't close
that's
the
funny.
Cabinets.
This could be a bit.
Right? Yeah. Like, I don't, that's, that could, that would be like, look at this asshole. Look at what he did to me.
You ladies want the piece of this?
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. This is what you're signing up for.
Yeah.
I'm trying to think of what else she could do.
That what was it called again? That saw that was stuck in the Lego
yes.
table?
Oh, yeah. My table saw. My dado blade. Yeah. She said, here's a $500 saw that
he'll dismantle
all the
motor
taken yeah. apart, and he couldn't put it back together again.
Yeah.
It made Humpty Dumpty out of that saw. Yeah. I would imagine she could probably grab video of the multiple times where I will get into the minivan because we have a single driveway.
Oh, man, she could go low blow and because you're a comedian and be like, he's no Nick Offerman.
Oh.
Is that the guy that did the comedian, yes. the Birch?
Yeah.
He's also a comic, right?
Yeah.
So you're like, shit.
I think he would probably call himself a humorist, like, because he's kind of heady, yeah. where he goes, oh. I go and I make mirth. I don't think he would be just a comedian. But, yeah, I'm curious to see. I don't know what I could post of her, though, that would be like a burn on her.
Revenge porn. That's hilarious. All of a sudden, hey, honey, let's make a porn because it's going to have one in the bank in case we get pissed off at each
yeah,
other.
Exactly. I just need
so
to have,
weird.
I need to have something to lord over you.
So this could be another sitcom plot. on your sitcom.
Oh, I need to do it first. I need to get the right camera and the setup and the lighting and...
it's so much work. This
I'm
revenge,
have to do a revenge porn.
I'm always getting aroused at the beginning.
It's more like I'm dissing myself in all these porns. They call me a 2-minute man.
It's like a revenge mirror. Oh.
Yeah. Yeah, you put it out there.
I like that all of our sitcoms have Ray Romano.
I know. He's the essential. He did it right, man.
He did it once and done.
Yeah.
Yeah, one and done. Like my revenge porn.
The only thing I could think of is the way my wife will yell at me, like she could just cram everything in her dresser, right? She has the dresser. She has 3/4 of the closet. And there was a time one time where I left my jacket, like a suit jacket I'd worn out to do a show the night before out on a table. Or if I
fancy.
Put some mail out on the table that's on an end table, she goes, I'm sick of this clutter. You know what I mean? Like, you just leave your crap everywhere. And I just feel like I always want to hold up an example of that. I would want to post, but I would do layout.
You call
know
this
what I mean?
Clutter?
Yeah, exactly. I would be like, when do I have space in my own house?
See, now Rob Kardashian would show the clutter and it would be all like cash and jewelry. And,
yeah. I don't have that, though, because I live a middle class lifestyle.
Here's my blazer from my stand-up gig the night before.
Check out, I just got new factory made rims for my Toyota Sienna. Rolling in a minivan, bitch.
Here's my dad t-shirt that's crumpled up. Dad to the bone.
Yeah. Yeah, I don't. Do you have any that you would post about your wife that would be like, this screw this or
not really? No.
Do you guys ever fight?
She's too good, man. She's too good.
But is that its own problem?
Yeah. Honestly, you know what? I swear to God, maybe that's what the guy. Maybe no, I was gonna say God, but maybe that's what it's like. Like seeing like these Rob Kardashians. Because I was laying in bed seeing this, and she's laying next to me, and I was just like, so when I see that, I'm like, I'm actually thankful for her all the time. You know, like I'll go out and, you know, I'll go do a show in Hollywood or something and I'll see some, you know, attractive woman or whatever. And I'm like, it doesn't matter because my wife has been with me, you know, like when I'm sick. She's like, she does, you know, she's just a great person and funny.
Yeah.
She does, not only is she like old school, like, you know, like cooks, cleans, does all that great stuff and is a wonderful mom to our son and everything, but she's like funny, man. Like that line, you know, about the metallic. I mean, we're just the right fit. It's like, and I see these dumb, I have so many friends that have gone through different girls over the years or their wives and they're divorced. And it's like, to me, it's sad, you know, and I don't want to be like that. And it's just sad. It's like, I tell her all the time how thankful I am, you know. Just, I've got to make her listen to this podcast.
I know, right?
Does she get, but I would talk this way.
But what's great about it, yes, I know you would. But it's, what's funny is that your wife has a snarky sarcasm to her where even if you were like, I'm so thankful, does she, I imagine you guys to have the, where you kind of gush a little. And she coyly, like, you get that she's like saying I love you back, but she kind of goes, shut up, you loser. Like that kind of.
Kind of, yeah. Because she'll like there was a time, I'm trying to think of a good example, but I remember like, I mean, she's funny. It's like we were at the school and she told me one time, she goes, can you like step it up a little bit? Because everyone thinks I'm the funny one. You know? So now I'm like, oh, now I gotta go down to the open mic at 7 a.m. when we drop our
show. Let's do a little improv.
Yeah. Hey. Hey, what's up, Todd, local dad? I like my women like I like my juice bar. You know, just, yeah. But it's like, oh, let me just be natural and comfortable around everyone. I don't want to just like come in and waka waka.
See,
I'm annoying. You know,
it's exactly. Like, that's,
yeah, because it's just like back to the, oh my God, we're coming back. But like in boxing, taekwondo, fighting, we talked about like, you don't need to like get all out. So I don't need to go there and prove that, hey, I'm funny too, try to out-funny my, you know what I mean? Like, she does it natural though. She's not trying, you know, it, you know what I mean? There's a difference between people that are talking and it's naturally coming out as opposed to like the, there's more pressure, I think, when it's like, here comes Justin, he's a professional comedian. And then all of a sudden you're like,
that.
Yeah, but I mean, if we're joking and I'm laughing, it'll be fun, but I'm not like.
But it changes it when they know that, because, so my interactions at the school say, I'll crack jokes at the PTA meetings and everything. But then when people ask, like when it comes out, that's what I do or what I did.
Yeah.
And then they'll be like,
what you're a little bit of a comedian.
That's true.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
But what's funny is that now, like one of the meetings, I don't take it personal, like, but it's more of an observation. But she goes, and we have a comedian who are at our PTA meetings. So that ought to make it like she uses that as a selling point, which makes me feel like I got to come in and go, like, okay, everybody, hey, whoa, what's going on here? What's the deal with pencils? Am I right?
Yeah, like, why are they called number two?
Like, where's number one? What happened to it? Is this a second version? I'm very bad at it. I don't. But then the other part of it is to bring my wife into it. Whenever they meet her, everybody always likes her more. Yeah. Everybody always like. And she is funny. Like, I went to a doctor's appointment, and the people at this clinic, they knew me from the radio. And so I go in, and I'm doing the thing, and we're talking about it, and my wife is cracking jokes. And they were like, why isn't she on the radio? She's the funny one.
Yeah.
And so then it's, you know, then I bring to the baggage all of the years where I was struggling as a comic, and she had the full-time job and everything. It's like, man, I'm a fucking marital sandbag. This is great.
Also, there's this that happens, too, huh? when you're out of your realm, you know, like, because, you know, so that's what happens when you have kids. Because before you're in your own zone, you same people all the time. Like for me, I was only seeing other comedians or other club owners or just I was in that comedy world. When you have a kid, now all of a sudden you're okay. You got to, you know, get out there with these other parents. And some of them you like, some of them, you know, whatever. And then there's, you know, that it's also kind of weird. Like, for example, like the boxing gym when they're like, hey, when's your next show? And they're just trying to make small talk.
Yes.
And I'll tell them when the next show is and the one that they should go to because I know, like, don't waste your time going 5 minutes.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like, don't drive all the way down to Long Beach just to see me do, like, 15. Right. Wait till I'm headlining in Burbank because you guys live in Burbank.
Yep.
Come see me there. And then do they show up?
No.
No. They did once on New Year's Eve. There was, like, 8 of them. And that was great. But then they keep bugging me. What are you going to do? We're all going to come. We're all going to tickets. And then it's, like, more stress because in every show you're like, are they here? You're looking around, like, walking through the crowd. Are they here? And that becomes a little annoying.
But you're right. I never noticed that. I think that they are doing it more as just small talk because it's what you do. Like, oh, hey, when are you going to do a show? I want to come see you do a show. But we feel like especially me, because I'm not traveling.
Yeah.
I'm not doing a lot of shows since I started working on the morning show, if any. So I'm like, oh, no, I'm not doing anything. I'm like, oh, now they're going to think I'm an idiot or a loser or whatever. But next round, they probably don't care. Even if I had a show, they probably they're just like, oh, you're a comedian.
Just throw out
a
date.
Yeah.
Hey, let's practice. Hey, Justin. Hey, funny man. Man, you're so funny. Hey, when's your next show?
August 3rd.
August 3rd. I'll be there. Where's it at?
Oh, Flappers, right over here.
I'll be there.
Oh, cool, man.
All right, man. Thanks.
Great.
Hey, don't even, because sometimes I'll be like, hey, I'll put you on the list. No, I'm going to pay full charge because they're not going to come anyways. It's like, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like, I'm like, oh, I'll put you on the list. I'll put you on my VIP list. No, we're good. And then, you know why? Because you weren't going to come anyways.
You already are on the VIP list.
Come on, you boxers.
It's also funny for me because I was doing it long enough is that now we're kind of looking at cutting the cord. And the downside to cutting the cord is when you watch a lot of Netflix and Netflix has gotten this surge.
Wait, I'm sorry. I spaced out because I drank my water and I literally was thinking when I made that joke, I go, yeah, boxers. I thought, what if they hear this? Because I like them all, but I was a little disappointed, to be honest. My last headlining gig there 2 weeks ago, because every show I was, we'll be there this weekend. No, he said, we're not going to go. We're going to be there on Saturday. And I remember.
So specific, yeah.
Yes. And he and especially the main one that, like, already bought. His wife said that they bought tickets in, like 5 months ago. And they did see me, so...
He's been slapped around the head a lot. I'm sure it's hard to remember stuff, you know?
Absolutely. I mean, I built up this whole thing. I mean, dude, I had this whole boxing chunk. It's like a killer seven-minute bit at the very end of my set. Because I talked about how I want to get good on the speed bag, like in all the Rocky movies. Because, he always does like a motivational speech where he's like, one step. Boxing is one step. Boxing in life is like one step, one punch, one round at a time. And then he like does the speed bag. And I tell the audience, I go, I was thinking, like, what if I get really good at the speed bag? Maybe I can, in addition to being a comic, I could go around and do motivational speeches, like, at elementary schools and hospitals or something. And at the end, I could, all right, bring out the speed bag. All right, the mighty oak was once an acorn, whatever. So some little throwaway joke, right? Well, the manager, William, he, on his own, this is hilarious, he took a plate and he taped a balloon to it, and he holds the plate and the balloon. So it looks like a speed bag. And guess what? They played Eye of the Tiger. Dun, 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 dun. As I say, thank you, good night. He came out, and I'm hitting the thing. Like, it was hilarious. Like, it worked. Funny. It was awesome. And I was like, oh, this is going to be great on Saturday when they come. Oh, man. Of course, they never shut up, and it was, like, stressful and – I don't know, whatever.
I don't know why, but in my mind, I imagine a bunch of guys in, like, cut-off T-shirts with gloves on, just sitting around a boxing ring, like, listening to this on a Bose speaker going, we really let him down. DC, man.
He was one of the good guys. You know? He wasn't one of us, but we let him into our club. <You know? laughs> Remember, we even let the retired Cholo train him.
Hey, I told him, never leave the house without protecting yourself.
They'll come to the next one when they hear this. They'll be like, next time it'll be, okay, this time for real, guys. You gotta come on. I'll buy their tickets. They can go on my VIP list. Just let me know when and where, and I will make this happen for you. We're going
to
make this wish go down.
And I swear to God, I was like, why is this bothering me so much? And I think the reason it bothered me is because, like, you know, for like since New Year's Eve.
Yeah.
When's your next show? When's your next show? And I told them when the next show was, and they already went online and bought them, and they bought the I guess they did buy the tickets. They just didn't show up. It's like
those it's a Groupon. They don't,
yeah, it's true.
Groupon is the worst thing to have in comedy.
I know, exactly. I'm like, like Justin Bieber has his fans are called the, do you know what they're
Beliebers,
called? The Beliebers. Yeah. And then, like, what's her name?
Taylor Swift?
Yeah, her fans are called.
I don't know, though.
Oh, I don't know either.
I know she's got a name. Well, she has her mob squad, or what is it? Yeah. The squad is her friends.
What's that girl's name that dresses all crazy? And
I don't know, but we're ruining all of this by just talking about it with our uncoolness.
poker face.
Lady Gaga.
Lady Gaga, her fans are called the Monsters?
Monsters, yeah, that sounds great.
Yeah, and then, I'm Darren Carter, the party starter.
Right.
I was wondering if I should. Here's a poll I put on Twitter, and you can tell which one they all wanted. I said, should my fans be called the party starters?
Yes.
Should they be called the partiers, or should they be called users of Groupon?
Yes. See.
What should the people that come to my shows be called? Yeah. Users of Groupon, that one. That one. So I'm sorry. My ADD kicked in. I put the thing in boxers, didn't come, and then you were about to say something.
I don't remember, but we're going to take another break and come back and do some moment of the week, all right?
Yes.
You made them. You love them. And sometimes you want to choke the living shit out of them. But occasionally they give you that one sweet moment. This is that moment. Moment of the Week, brought to you by Dad Gear. All your child traveling needs packed into stylish, practical perfection. Designed by real dads for real dads and moms. Don't be the guy with a diaper purse. Be the man with the Dad Gear diaper backpack. Go to thedadpodcast.com and click on the Dad Gear logo on the right-hand side. Made in the USA.
All right. Would you like to go first with your moment of the week, sir? Or would you
moment
like
of the
me
week.
To go?
I'll go first. Right. By the way, this is great that you're doing this all the time, like moment of the weeks, because you can look back and be like, oh, I forgot about that one or this one or that one. Isn't it nice?
I don't usually go back and listen to the episodes. My fear is that my kids will eventually listen to this and that.
Oh.
Here's the thing. People, I'm more displacing that people are going to be like, what are you going to do if your kids hear this? But I think if my kids listen to the show and hear me jokingly bitch about them and they don't know that I love them, then I did fail them. Because
if they're hearing it on a podcast.
Yeah, exactly. Like, come on. Like, they know. And they've listened to all of my dad played all of my comedy albums, which is nothing about bitching and moaning about them and the trials. And they think it's funny. So they get it.
You know, the reason I say that is it's kind of nice because on, you know, like Facebook, you'll post something and then a year later your Facebook memories.
Yes, I love that.
Like, yeah.
Especially with kids.
Yes. And I'll do like a little jokes on Twitter or Facebook and I'll be like, oh, I forgot about that. Like, it's a real thing that happened. Mm-hmm. Like, you know, especially in a comic's lives, like we're kind of trying to find the funny or the little thing. And it's nice to do that. So I like that you have this segment on here. It's great.
Thank you, man.
Something that inspired me once. When I was listening to your moment of the week, I was like, oh, I got to remember this. And it was because I love Instagram. I love being able to take a picture and then add text to it. And it almost makes it look like a poster. Mm-hmm. And it's like, and I'm getting a lot better at that to where like it's connecting with people. And I also realize that not everything has to be like funny or a meme or, I mean, it can be, but it, you know, I can also put like real moments and those real moments people connect with just like this part of your podcast, you know? And I remember thinking as I was playing with Austin, he's chasing me, when he was like, I think 7 or 8, he was chasing me and I'm running backwards and I'm looking at his face and he's giggling and I'm just out of reach. And he's like trying to get me and he's laughing. And I remember thinking, I love this moment. And I was thinking, you know, exercising with your kid is like the most satisfying and rewarding, you know, like playing with your kid and just that moment of like, I'm like, I wish I could capture this forever. Where he's just like giggling and like, I almost got you. And I remember posting that and like in my mind, I was thinking, oh, this is kind of like what Justin Washam does, like moment of the week. You know? Oh, here comes your kid.
Oh, speaking of which. Yes, Jack.
Come on in. Come on in.
Come on in. He's saying mean words to you. OK, when Dad's done with this, I will kill him. OK.
That'll be our moment of the week.
All right. You want to be an only child? That's good.
He's nodding his head. Right. Yes.
Okay.
He's going to be okay.
Tell your brother he'll be dead when I come inside, okay? All right. Thank you, son. Like that. Perfect.
He's going to hear this one day. That was really messed up, I love Dad.
They always just nod at it, but it always makes me. They go, yeah, sure, whatever.
The last we left, they were like going to make a smoothie or something. And
yeah, they do these things. They just. Yeah. I think it's a brother. I don't know because my siblings are so much older than I am, so I was always the annoying one. But I think after a while, you get a little cabin fever. They're very good with each other. And that dude, the younger one, Jack, who was just in here, he has no idea how good he has it with Jacob as a big brother. Yeah. Like, he doesn't pick on him. He doesn't. He gets annoyed with him from time to time. And then Jack comes in and is like, he's saying mean words to me. I'm like, yeah, he's a brother. That's if you're big brother, you're lucky he's not giving you a wedgie and trying to swirly you while I'm out here. So
Like my son does to me. Austin says funny stuff. Because I told you we got him the Nintendo Switch, right?
Yeah.
So he got him the Nintendo Switch, but he's not allowed to have it till his birthday. So I called. They were up at the farm, my wife grew up on a farm. And I called them, and I'm talking to her for a while, and I'm talking to him. And he goes, Dad, I'm going to try to trick Mom where she'll give me the Nintendo Switch before my birthday. I'm like, how? And he goes, well, I was watching this video, and it was saying how to outsmart your parents. And I'm like, doesn't he realize I'm one of his parents?
Yeah.
I'm like, oh, really? What the video? Like, wait, really? How to outsmart your parents? And I almost want to tell my wife right away, like, this is hilarious. I go, what did it say? And he goes, oh, stuff like, you know, you might want to help your parents, like, take the groceries or, you know, like, basically doing little errands and get your parents into the habit of saying yes. And then when you ask them for the Nintendo Switch, they'll say yes. You know? And I was like, this is pretty funny.
I like the long game, too. Like, yeah. It's not too far off.
Because I was like, this is actually probably, I mean, from what he was telling me, it sounds like it's good manners, you know, for what he was saying. And I was thinking, like, hey, honey, I was going to be like, hey, son, can you, what's that channel? Do they have a, like, another video, like, how to outsmart your wife? No, but here's the moment for the moment of the week. I love it. My son, he always, the last thing he says when I leave to go do shows at night or whatever, I'm like, all right, good night, everyone. I love you. Bye. And when I leave, he always says, he does two things. He's been doing this is his new thing now. As I say goodbye, he does the NSYNC bye, bye, bye. That's how he says bye. And
he does the dance too with the
Pac-Man
hand.
Bye, bye, bye. Yeah. Oh, I know I'm getting sidetracked. Moment of the week, but I got to tell you this one thing. So, you know how we want to show your kids stuff that you grew up on?
Yeah, or, yeah, yeah.
You know, Call of Duty 1 or whatever. Yeah. You know, like, do you...
How to kill a Nazi.
Yeah, I get it. Totally get it.
I'm a retired cholo.
No, did you ever... did you grow up on Looney Tunes and all that?
Oh, yeah.
Okay, so, yeah. Will you be my son?
Yes. No.
So I'm trying to get Austin into that. And you know, I mean, come on. Compared to nowadays cartoons,
oh my God, they're really, horrible. Yeah.
Yeah, they're not into it. And I'm like, Austin. And so we were in the swimming pool and we're swimming. And I go, Austin, can you, because I don't even know if he knows how these people are. And I go, do you know who Woody Woodpecker is? And he's like, of course I know Woody Woodpecker. I just answered everything like he knows it already. And of course. I go, how does he laugh? And he goes, I was like, no. It's hell no. But I think he was doing it just to be funny. I go, no, he laughs like, and I go, do you know what Popeye eats? And he goes, spaghetti. Just to be funny. Oh, here comes.
You need to open it. Yeah, they want these. They love these Chobani.
Use your mighty muscles smoothies. To open up this smoothie.
Yeah,
I'm glad I didn't like spray everywhere.
It's not carbonated.
Oh, I got a question for you. Come to the microphone. Do you know who Woody Woodpecker is?
No.
Do you know how he laughs? He doesn't even know who he is.
Okay. Be careful.
Come on, I thought you were the kid of an improv master. Yes, and.
Well, that's the problem is that the Merry Melodies cartoons are on Cartoon Network, but now it's like Friends.
Oh.
Like they do it like a sitcom.
Hey, shut the door.
Thank you.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's not the same. Like those old Merry Melodies cartoons were like the fundamentals of comedy. Like you could pick that up when you were a kid.
What do you mean it's like Friends? Like, oh, Friends like a sitcom.
Like, it's more like a, it's like, oh, Daffy. It's not like
what we grew up on.
Yes, because that's too bullyish or, you know what I mean? It's just like him. He probably said, get your own damn yogurt or something like that. And he goes, he's using mean words. And
So then I go, what about Porky Pig at the end of the, you know, the show? He's a brick wall in the spotlight. He says, you know, and then of course that's when he was like, bye, bye, bye. But he's doing it to be funny, but it still was like, come on, at least say what he really says once, please, son, bond with me. Am I that old? No. Yeah.
That is how he's bonding you, by stringing along with frustration.
Stringing along with frustration. Are you being annoying? Am I really being annoying? It's
like, he's going to look back at 40 and be like, my dad was such a sap. It was so great. Like,
that was my moment of the week with the pops. So, he goes, okay, so my moment of the week is whenever I say goodbye to him, I'm like, goodbye, Austin, I love you. And he's like, bye, Dad, you're the best dad of the entire earth. And I love it.
That's great.
And I remember I made a little poster on Instagram, a little thing, and I said, my son says I'm the best dad on earth, and I know he hasn't met all the fathers on earth. But I'll take it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's good.
And then, you know what he said? This is the moment of the week because he said that. He said, you're the best dad on the entire earth. And then he said this yesterday and he goes, and this time I mean it. That's what he said. And I thought that was cool.
That's great.
Because sometimes I go, you always mean it. And he goes, well, sometimes I was being sarcastic. I was like, what the fudge? And I'm like,
meanwhile, you're wiping a tear and the cat's in the cradle with the silver spoon.
Little boy blue and the man on the moon. Did you ever hear my joke about that? It's on my new album. Oh, can I plug my new album?
Yes, absolutely. That's what we're going to do after this.
Whoa, did you hear that noise?
The computer does not want you to plug your album.
I was like, whoa, did Seinfeld just come on?
Tell me, what's up with your new album?
What's the deal? It's called The Party Continues. I have four albums, four different. I was like, you know what people like? When you say CD or album, they like to bust your balls. Ugh, do people still have CD? So now what I say is audio special.
Ooh.
Get my new audio special.
That is good. I like that because an album implies vinyl.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And CD.
A CD, or nobody even uses that.
Yeah, I don't know, I'm going to make fun of you. And but if you just say, how many audio specials do you have?
I have three audio specials.
Sounds great already, right? I'm the Bill Burr of audio specials.
I'm so prolific audio-wise. Audio-wise? If you count these podcasts, I've got thousands of audio specials.
This is my moment of the week. I'm my audio special. Who needs Netflix?
Exactly.
Got iTunes. But we've got Libsyn or whatever. No, so... Yeah, that was it.
That was your moment of the week. Mine was, as I said before, we binge watched Harry Potter because we went with my family. My brother and sister-in-law came down and we went with them to Universal to go to the Harry Potter world. My nephew, who's now 22, 23, I think, he was way into Harry Potter. He was right in the wheelhouse. And so I took my kids to Harry Potter and to watch Jacob especially, because he's older, was like, wow, like it was just so amazing.
Wow, that's cool.
He went on the ride.
Did you do that roller coaster?
Yep. The little one did the roller coaster, the hippogriff like ride. And
how long was the wait on the roller coaster that day?
The roller coaster was probably 20 minutes.
A 20 minute
wait. The big roller coaster when we got there was 30 minutes, but they did a child swap thing where we went right in. So we got to ride it twice, once at the beginning of the day, once at the end of the day. We did 15 hours at this theme park with these kids.
Wow.
And they were such champs and such troopers. But the part of it that was really funny to me, and both funny and touching, was I wasn't going to get them these wands. They have the wands.
Oh, yeah.
And then they have wands that you could wave at stuff, and it makes stuff happen in the windows, which I think is really cool.
Yeah.
And there's an old school dad part of me is like, yeah, you don't need that garbage, you know. But thankfully, my wife is the kind of person who's like, these kids have been around 15 hours walking around a park, no stroller.
Yeah.
And they didn't complain. Like, they were totally having fun. And being, so I was like, that's a good point. So we get them $110 worth of wands. It still hurts.
Was that two wands?
Two wands. It was $43 for just a wand, or you could get an interactive wand for $49.
One time we were at the Simpsons, cafe or whatever. Mm-hmm. Like, you could eat over there where the Simpsons are. When I sat down, I looked down and I saw, like, two wands. I know, but we don't watch Harry Potter, and we're like, we don't know, you know, whatever. So we turned them in, and they gave us like front of the line passes.
Oh, that's cool.
Yeah, that was. But I think, you know what? I think some of them expired or something because we didn't use them all that one day. Because at the end of the, you know.
Yeah, you get that day, and then it's done.
But we're like, we should have kept those one, whatever.
But the part that I thought was so cute was not only the excitement, right? But then it's also a representation of their personalities. Jacob was kind of hemming and hawing, and then he zeroed in on Harry Potter's wand. And I thought he was going to go Albus Dumbledore because it was the Elder Wand or whatever, if you're hardcore nerdy into that.
Excuse me.
And then Jack, being classic Jack, wanted Voldemort's wand. Mm-hmm. he went straight for the Death Eater first, but they didn't have that one, the skull on it.
Oh, man.
They didn't have that one in the interactive, so he went right for the bad guy's wand. And it's so funny that they just could, to me, it was so funny that they couldn't be more polar opposites. And to watch a young 6-year-old child be giddy holding this bone and with a claw on it. He's like, oh, this is so great. In a very cute, adorable way, but this symbolism of evil was very scary and touching at the same time.
I think kids are into that. How Austin was really drawn to Darth Vader. You know?
Oh yeah,
he
likes all the bad guys, Jack.
Yeah, yeah.
They
like the good guys for a while, then they switch over and like the bad guys, huh?
But Jack is a contrarian. Sometimes. Whatever he thinks is the way things are going, he just loves to go opposite.
Oh.
He loves to just go whatever he can to make things hard too. That's the downside to it, but. Yeah, yeah. So
Austin loves Star Wars. You know how you love Star Wars?
Yeah.
And that's what you said. What is he into? He loves, you know, and although I don't know, sometimes he'll joke around and be like, I'm not into it anymore. But, I think he still is.
Yeah.
It's like, they picked me up from the airport a couple months ago. And he's like, Dad, all he talks about is Star Wars for a while. And he's like, can you name 30 Star Wars characters? And I'm like, no. And then, but he goes, I can. And he did it. He finally did it. He was up to 26 and he was like. And he started going, he goes deep. I mean, you'd know him, but
to be fair, he could be making it up. You wouldn't know.
I know. I told him that too, but I think they're real though. Like, you're right though. I could. And then we did this other game because I wanted to work, have improv because, it's a good game to play with your kid where you're hey, once upon a time, there was a boy named, and then they would, but he kept, and it was a kind of a game that he liked to play with me where he'd try to slip in a Star Wars character's name. And then I act like I'm mad, Austin, is that a Star Wars? No, Dad. because he slightly changes it. What was one of them? Oh, yeah, I go, once upon a time, there was a weatherman, and his name was, and he goes, Jabba. Wait, is it Jabba?
Yeah,
Jabba. No, he said Java, Java with a V. I go, and he lived, and he goes, in a hut. That made me laugh. I go, dude, we got to write this down. But I go, and he
would. It's going to be on Dad's new audio special.
Yeah, my new audio special. Remember how I said I like boring things? Here's my new audio special. It's really boring.
Tune in. 60 minutes.
Improv
making audio
with a 9-year-old. Yeah. I go, and then they would, they had a special animal, and it was a. And he'd be like, a Millennial Falcon or whatever. What's it called?
Millennium Falcon.
Yeah, Millennium?
Millennium Falcon. I'm probably wrong on that, actually.
Millennium.
Because that's a young Justin who believes that.
Millennium.
It's not Millennial Falcon.
Yeah, it's Millennium.
Falcon.
Falcon, yeah.
I believe.
Yeah.
Oh, I'm going to get so
many that's the name
emails.
Of the ship, right? The Falcon.
Yeah, yeah.
The Millennium. Yeah. So, some of that stuff I know. Of course I know C-3PO and Chewbacca and all that. But he knows, this other stuff that's Darth Maul. Oh, and then they went to, and he's like, they went to the Darth Maul to go shopping. Shit like that, where I'm like, dude, I know it's a character.
Yeah, I got your love of puns, so that's
yeah,
good.
Yeah, yeah, exactly. They went to the Darth Maul.
Yeah. Yeah. He cues them.
He cues it out.
Oh, always a good time, Mr. Darren Carter. You could send us an email to show@thedadpodcast.com. That's where you could direct all of that anger and frustration about me not knowing what the pronunciation of Millennium Falcon is. Give us a like at facebook.com/dadpodcast. If you want to talk to other like-minded parents, our very own Butcher Drew.
All right, has created
Staying Frosty with the Dad Podcast. It's a fun fan group that you guys, they post memes there. Really, really, really funny stuff. And they talk to each other, give each other advice, and share stories. It's awesome. Darren, you can find him at darrencarter.com. The spelling of that, if you don't know how to spell, it's very common. But the spelling of that and the link to that is in the description of this episode. You can follow him on Twitter at Darren Carter. I'm assuming that's also Instagram.
Instagram is official Darren Carter. I love Instagram and Twitter the most. I'm Facebook too, but I mean, I really get a kick out of Instagram. I should show you a few tricks. Because you can do like Insta stories. Where you like film stuff, it only stays up for like 24 hours.
And then it's gone.
But you can write text and stuff on it. But if you like it, let's say you get some gold, then you can save it to your camera roll and put it out to other places. I think it's wonderful, man.
That's awesome. I love it. So follow him on Instagram, official Darren Carter.
Yes.
Pick up any one of his four audio specials available at darrencarter.com or on iTunes
or Amazon.
Anywhere you can get audio specials or what you may call music if you're a lay person. On behalf of Darren Carter, this is Justin Worship saying, hug your kids, hump your loved one, and stay frosty, my friend.